This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment from Syngenta for consistently superior sudden death syndrome protection without the stress.
There are a lot of irons in the fire for the grain markets right now, but sometimes it just makes sense to drill a little deeper into what's happening in the cash markets. We're doing that again today. This time, we've got Eastern Nebraska in the spotlight.
Live from Farm Journal broadcast via, well, somewhere along I-80, this is AgriTalk. Today's guest, Luke Beckman of Central Valley Ag, Joe Vaklovic. We'll check in from Chicago with Peel from the Floor. And now, here's your host, Chip Flooring.
All right. Thank you so much, John Harris.
Where are you, Chip?
Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and if you drive by and you see me, just make sure I'm not actually on the air. You can wave. You can wave. I'd be happy to do that. But I'm at the world's largest truck stop
in
Walcott, Iowa. Yes. making my way over to South Bend. So getting a little bit of a head start, but everything's going well so far today. And speaking of going well, we had some plus signs for the grain markets. Corn was firm, soybeans firm, soybean meal and bean oil both worked to the upside. Winter wheat was mixed. Spring wheat saw some solid gains there. Live cattle were mixed. Feeder cattle mostly higher, and lean hogs were higher in today's trade. And John, with everything that's going on out there in the world right now, the ability of the corn market, the ag markets, to hold on to any gains was really pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really was today, especially with all of the news that's been flying around that could adversely impact those markets. So obviously, traders are looking at the weather and what this crop really could produce.
Yeah, absolutely. With all the water that is, I mean, I'm in an area right now that is expecting anywhere from 400 to 500% of normal precipitation between now and the next 2 weeks.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's just too much water. It's supposed to get started tonight, so.
It's not going to be like last fall, is it?
Yeah, it's starting to feel like it.
Oh, no.
Starting to feel like it, no doubt. And then there's everything that's going on with President Trump, the call to Ukraine. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of moving parts on that in just the last hour. President Trump saying he has authorized the release of the full transcript of that call with the president of Ukraine that's at the center of that whistleblower complaint. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected later today to announce a formal impeachment inquiry related to that whistleblower complaint. And the latest coming in now reports that the attorney for the whistleblower has reached out to the House and Senate Intel committees saying that the whistleblower wants to testify before those committees.
Yeah, I can't imagine that President Trump would say, let's go ahead and release the transcript of the call, unless he knows what the outcome is going to be.
Except that at this point, it's almost a foregone conclusion that it's going to come out one way or another. So why not get it out and try to control the narrative as it does come out?
Okay. All right. Well, I get that. But boy, it seems to me that he would really be I don't know. No, you may be right. You got to control that narrative from the very start, and that could be exactly what's going on there. Yep. Okay. What else is happening in the news?
Well, let's look at grain spring wheat supported by freeze and frost concerns across the northern U.S. plains and the Canadian plains. Prices reached the highest mark since July 19th after crossing above the 200-day moving average. Funds continued to pair what was a record short position as of last week. Winter wheat planting rose 14 points to 22% completed as of this week, slightly behind the 24% average pace of the last 5 years. December hard red futures were off 1.25 cents at 41.75. December soft red futures were down 1.5 at 405 even. December spring wheat up 8 at 545.25.
Yeah, that frost forecast, I think that's got a lot to do with what's going on. Might be helping out the corn market as well because of that corn up in North Dakota, South Dakota, that's well behind normal in development.
Indeed. Well, December corn futures slid below Monday's lows but held above Friday's lows in overnight trade, with the market now back above its opening range and moving above that buy signal at 374 and three quarters. Private exporters reported to the U.S. Department of Agriculture export sales of 200,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 2019-20 marketing year this morning. Chinese commodities trader COFCO told Reuters it expects a sharp drop in the amount of soybeans it will source for export from Brazil this year due to that outbreak of African swine fever that has hurt demand for animal feed. Company officials told Reuters they will compensate for the drop in soybeans with higher sourcing and exports of corn. December corn futures were up 1.5 at 374.75. March corn gained 0.25 to close at 385.5. May corn was up 0.75 at 392.75.
There are some mixed signals out there exactly on what China is doing with their feed demand with ASF, but we'll get it sorted out.
And who canceled what trip out to ag country this week, too.
Right.
You'll get into that as well. USDA did not confirm the reports of yesterday's Chinese purchases of up to 600,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans today in its daily reporting service. Chinese Vice Premier Liu He will be back in Washington the week of October 7th as he heads the Chinese team meeting with U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. November bean futures were up 0.75 at 894.25. January also up 0.75 at 907.75. March beans were up 2 cents at 919 even.
Yeah, I'd watch for that confirmation on those bean sales to China tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, live cattle and feeder cattle futures were steady to lower, erasing earlier gains. Live cattle futures rose to the downside gap left after the Tyson slaughter plant fire in August and met resistance. A pause is not a surprise ahead of the U.S.-Japan trade deal signing on Wednesday. October cattle 27.5 were up 27.5 at 102.12.5. December cattle dropped 35 cents to 107.42.5. October feeders were up 40 at 141.65. Mostly in hog futures were higher, but near the mid-range. December hog futures rose near last week's highs, but failed to sustain the strong early rally. October hogs were up 1.05 at 62 even. December lean hogs were up 72.5 at 69.10.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Let's bring in Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. Joe, kind of a go-nowhere market today, huh?
Yeah, I think action overall is not terrible. I think the soybean market's held up pretty well. You've got December corn more than 20 cents off the lows. So, you know, that could have very well been your harvest low there a couple weeks ago in the corn market and also in the bean market. That's not totally impossible. I think a lot of what happens going forward is going to depend on yield results. And we just haven't seen enough widespread data to really get a feel for it, I don't think.
Okay, I've heard you say this before. Just because a market makes a low doesn't mean that it has to go higher right now. What might be the catalyst to move this market, corn market in particular, higher over the next month or so?
I mean, the most obvious one would be that the yields are light and that the crop that USDA says is there just isn't there. I mean, that would be the number one thing, I think. A trade deal would help. I think that would help the bean market more than anything, but a rising tide would lift all ships in that situation. You know, better demand, we still got to get some better export demand going, and it's just we haven't seen it.
Yeah, that better demand, I think that would be outstanding and really do us a lot of help there. Hog market performed okay today, didn't it?
Yeah, it's acted all right. I mean, it's still not a market that I'm really excited about overall.
Okay.
I think the cattle market's actually acted real well. I mean, we've even after that cattle on feed report, a lot of times the trade kind of fades the reports and goes the other way. We had a bullish report, we had a rally, and it basically stuck today. So good sign.
Good stuff, Joe. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, see you, Chip.
All right, that is Joe Vaklevic with Standard Grain. Okay, when we come back, we're heading out to Elgin, Nebraska, Central Valley Ag. Conversation with Luke Beckman coming up. We're talking cash markets out in eastern Nebraska next, right here on AgriTalk. I'm joined by Mike Leach, Agronomy Service Manager for Syngenta. Mike, what should growers keep in mind as they make their weed management plan for 2020?
There's several principles that we need to consider. Number one, diversity. Utilize cover crops. Maybe it's inter-row cultivation. Obviously, crop rotation is a good diversification tool. Think about narrow rows. Think about higher plant populations that will outcompete weeds. Always, always, always start clean. Don't let the weeds get ahead of you. Always use a two-pass approach. Our data would show there's always more yield in a two-pass approach. and use herbicides that have multiple effective modes or mechanisms of activity or sites of action within the product. The whole idea is to keep weeds from going to seed, feeding the seed bank.
And Mike, when you make that two-pass approach, use the full label rates, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cutting labels is like cutting the nose off to spite your face. It makes
Exactly. Absolutely
no sense.
Exactly. Okay, so tell me more about which herbicide programs you'd recommend.
With Syngenta and our corn portfolio, it would be a product like Acuron, Acuron Flexi, Lumax EZ, Lexar EZ. We've got a large portfolio that we can put together, a very flexible and affordable weed management program. In soybeans, it's much the same. We have Broadex XC, Boundary 6.5 EC, as well as Prefix. All of those are good, effective products that contain good, effective sites of action for soybeans. And then combine that with our new product, Tavium plus Vapor Grip technology, or utilize the FlexStar GT. We've got great choices.
And when you apply the right product, apply it right, correctly. Don't make the mistake of some wrong applications.
Chip, I can't emphasize that enough. What has traditionally happened is we're trying to keep things simple on the sprayer. And for example, if a grower applies Tavium plus Vapor Grip and then switches to FlexStar GT, for example, in another field, you have to change the technique, the volume, the pressure, the nozzle type, all of those things so that we get the best deposition for the herbicide that's in the tank.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta sharing recommendations on how to take back control of your weeds next season. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron, Lexar EZ, Lumax EZ, and Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology are restricted use pesticides. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Love that one. Knowledge is power. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us this afternoon. Corn, soybeans were firm. Soybean meal worked to the upside. Bean oil was steady to firm. Winter wheat was mixed. Spring wheat was higher. Live cattle mixed. Feeder cattle mostly higher. And lean hogs were higher in today's trade. It's going to be interesting to see how the equity markets react to exactly what is going on with this potential impeachment hearing that evidently House Speaker Pelosi has decided that maybe that this is something that we need to move forward with. And it will be the equity markets should be the first to show any serious concern over whether or not an impeachment hearing will be successful or not. But hey, this grain market will probably not like the uncertainty that comes along with any impeachment hearings there as well. Okay, let's bring in Luke Beckman. Luke is at Central Valley Ag there in Elgin, Nebraska. He joins us right now. Luke, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
Hey, doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on, guys. Beautiful harvest today in eastern Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah. I got to ask you, Luke, are you getting any sleep?
you know, here and there. Baby on the way or baby that showed up. So, yeah. Sure lots of people know how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Luke is not a brand new father, but added to the family that just this last week, right?
Yep, girl number two. So we're having lots of fun and everybody's doing well.
Excellent. That's great to hear. Congratulations on that. Okay, you said you got a good harvest day over there. Just how much has been done?
Well, Chip, we're really still at the starting line, you know, in eastern Nebraska, especially as you get, you know, north of the Platte River. Guys are out, you know, biting into the beans and seeing if we can go on that. A lot of your wet corn is getting a start into the feedlots and, you know, any processors who are running, you know, some reduced drying programs to get some crop moving. Been a hard time buying cash grain, so anything you can do to get cash grain moving is being tried right now.
Okay, so just getting a good start, some high moisture corn coming in. What is the status as far as the maturity of the corn crop up there, Luke? Because when we went through there third week of August, the far northern counties in eastern Iowa, obviously a concern on the maturity scale back in August. Has it caught up much? Still got a long ways to go. What's going on?
You know, from a soybean standpoint, that looks pretty typical. We're going to get, you know, started late week. It's going to be very popular for everybody to be going. That's really normal for eastern Nebraska. You know, when you look at the corn, it's going to be variable just with a kind of a spread out spring. But it looks like black layer is going to be, you know, pretty well October 1st for a pretty good chunk of the crop. So by the time the beans, you know, get cut and we're done putting those away, I think regardless of moisture, guys are just going to get going into corn if they're able. So maybe a touch later than normal, but, you know, this late season heat has helped us catch up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. The late season heat, it will help with the maturity, but it leaves you wondering what it's going to do to that corn crop. And even the bean crops, ability to build a bean size, build a kernel size, and so on. But it's different at this time of the year. It can still perform and perform very well out there. The guys that have opened up bean fields, Luke, are they happy with what they're seeing?
Well, it's very early. We've had variable reports, you know, guys that are disappointed. We've had some stuff that's pretty darn close to average where it's been the last 3 years. So we've kind of been all over the board. It's early. We'll certainly have a better beat on that, you know, early next week.
Yeah.
But I would echo your comments on the corn chip. We do have some irrigating going on. So we've got harvest on one side of the road. We're still irrigating corn on the other side.
Yeah, what does your forecast look like, Luke? Because up in northeast Iowa over the next couple of weeks, right now it looks like we've got way too much moisture coming our way. Is that sliding all the way back over to you in eastern Nebraska?
Well, the 6 to 10 day maps would certainly suggest that. So I think we're going to have a good week here, and then we're going to have to see what next week looks like. But yeah, the maps certainly look wet in Nebraska as well.
Yeah, the last thing we want is a repeat of what we did a year ago, especially with a crop that I think a lot of people are expecting is going to be a little higher moisture anyway. Okay, you said it. You're having a tough time getting grain moving. Are you talking about the old crop stocks that are still out there, or are you talking about new crop sales?
Yeah, really the old crop side of the coin. Okay. I think you look at, you know, the end users, the processors. You know, it's been a difficult 60-day stretch, I think, August and September, just to secure grind, you know, for the ethanol plants. And it's really just been a battle. And so we just get into this conversation of, you know, having a 2.4 billion bushel carryout, and the cash market's telling us something very different from what the USDA is. So that's been pretty consistent from eastern Corn Belt to west. You know, we're 20 to 30 over at the peak here in Nebraska. So that's, you know, a lot stronger than we typically would be this time of year. So, it certainly looks like it's in the farmer's hands. I mean, when you get into a situation like this where we're looking at a pretty good inverse in the cash market, you know, the commercial system is not going to carry corn through an inverse. So of that 2.4, you'd certainly think a lot of that has to be the farmer if it's true.
But here's what I don't understand. Why isn't a guy that's sitting on 25,000 bushels of corn or whatever that number is, and he knows that the feed mill is running short on corn, why isn't that guy picking up the phone and saying, hey, Luke, you can have 25,000 bushel if I can get 40 over or whatever the number is? I think that would move some corn, wouldn't it?
You certainly think so. And I think it's the right question, and it's a fair question. You know, I think there's probably three reasons why a farmer would carry corn into new crop. And I don't know how widespread this would be, but first and foremost, they would be friendly. You know, we think that the USDA has it wrong. These prices are going to come back, and I want to be able to participate should that happen. The second reason would be the farmer might be unsure about their local crop. I don't think that's as much of an issue here, you know, as it would be in South Dakota, as it would be in the eastern states where we had a lot of prevent plant. You know, you want to have crop available to market throughout the year, so they just held on to it. And I think the third reason is the MFP program. It certainly provided cash flow, you know, this summer, and gave farmers some staying power to, you know, not have to sell grain to generate cash. And so I do think the MFP program has kind of distorted some basis values and made them firmer than they need to be to try to get corn moving.
Boy, don't let anybody at USDA hear you say that, Luke. The whole, you know, the MFP program was not designed to influence acres or cash or price or markets or anything, right?
In a perfect world, Chip. Yep.
Yeah, that is exactly right, in a perfect world. So this USDA is wrong. That's part of the farmers just being price friendly, anticipating some higher prices ahead. What constitutes USDA being wrong? In other words, how low does yield have to fall from that 168.2 to be price friendly?
Well, I think that the demand portion of that, you know, has taken some of the zap out of that conversation.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see how yields stack up as they come out of the field. But, you know, look at our export inspections as we start the year. I mean, they've been very poor, you know, and that story's going to linger until we see what the South American crop looks like next spring. So, you know, demand has fallen to the point where we can afford to have some of these issues. But, you know, if we get a cut in harvested acreage or we get cuts in yield, absolutely. I mean, we can see corn recover, but I don't think we're going to know that full story until we get to January.
Okay. Not a lot of time left in this segment, Luke, but I got to ask, are you doing anything different to try to get corn bought right now than what you normally would do?
Not typically. You know, I think that grain's going to flow where it wants to. You know, right now, just being an elevator system, you know, the end user needs the grain. They're going to get the grain.
Yep.
So guys are selling it, reowning it. You have strong basis values, and they're friendly. You can sell it, buy it back, and let the board do the rest of the work.
Gotcha. Okay. We're talking with Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag out in Elgin, Nebraska. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the soybeans, because what are you going to do with these harvest season beans? What if they're not? What if yields are better than what you expected? We'll discuss that next here on AgriTalk.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at December hog futures today. These hogs topped at $90.20 per hundredweight on April 18th, and aside from a July bounce to $79.97, didn't bottom until it reached $57.77 on September 10th. Prospects for improved Chinese buying have apparently powered the recent rebound, with the these price leaping to $71.60 last Monday and trading sideways to lower since then. In fact, the contract tested its 40-day moving average at $64.95 last Friday, then rebounded. The fact that it gapped above its 40-day moving average 10 days ago and held at that level Friday strongly suggests a bullish technical outlook and the potential to break out to fresh two-month highs in the near future.
All right. We'll keep a close eye on it. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah. That's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory, your host, sitting here at the world's largest truck stop, Long I-80 here in Walcott, Iowa, making my way out to the headquarters for Farm Journal Broadcast out in South Bend. I'm going to recap, but it's just going to be a summary of how the markets did today. Corn was firm, soybean meal higher, bean oil steady to firm, winter wheat was mixed, spring wheat higher, live cattle were mixed, feeder cattle mostly higher, and lean hogs were higher in today's trade. We're talking with Luke Beckman. Luke is with Central Valley Ag out in Elgin, Nebraska, and We've talked a lot about corn and what's going on with the corn market. We've talked some about the soybean harvest and that guys are just starting to take a few bites out of fields and test the system out there. But I want to start with a demand question with you, Luke, on soybeans, because we've seen China come in and make some purchases now. They've been confirmed. There's rumors, and we're waiting for confirmation in the USDA daily reporting system of some additional sales that were supposedly made starting yesterday afternoon. In eastern Nebraska, do you guys feel any of that pull on those sales to China that are originating out of the PNW?
Yeah, you get into our northern reaches. You know, our South Dakota and North Dakota friends like to cover that business up pretty fast.
Right.
But you can certainly see those values translate if you needed to sell, a shuttle of beans to the PNW. We did see values perk up, before those announcements were made. So there's some business being done out there. It's, probably certainly not at historical levels on what you could trade in a normal year, but certainly better than where it was, just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Are you seeing anything in the cash market this week, Luke, that would suggest that, okay, yeah, China did pick up another 10 cargoes?
Well, I think there were some of those whispers, yes, this week. What we saw a week ago, with some business being done, a lot of your interior handlers were able to get some sales on to the PNW, and then what happened is Brazilian offers, they fell by 40 cents a bushel, just like that, because some business was being done out of the U.S. So China goes back to Brazil to book some beans, and then we're kind of on round two here of some more business being done by the Chinese.
Yeah, you don't feel like this is going to turn into a race to the bottom on this bean market with Chinese with China coming in and buying beans and switching back and forth between the U.S. and Brazil, do you?
Not really. I mean, I think it was more just a function of, Brazil's going to sell beans for as much as they want to until they can't. And, when China bought some Goodwill beans from the U.S., Brazil still had available supplies. So they said, well, we'll cut our offers by 40 cents and try to maintain our market share here.
Yeah, and that market share, it's been climbing here for a while. So, okay, there are some indications out there that this is taking place. Now, here we come. We're coming up on harvest. Guys are just getting started. I mean, you've really got for so long, Luke, I don't want to call your job easy when it came to beans, but boy, as soon as they were cut, they were coming to town. That happened for a long time. It's not the case anymore, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, the carryouts and how they've changed and evolved over the course of 10 years have told the market that, hey, we need to store these beans and allocate these beans across the storage season. And really, space became a demand pool for grain, both corn and beans. That's been typical in corn for a long time, but, you know, we were staring at inverses in soybeans for so many years there. So, you know, we had beans in the elevator and out of the elevator on a train, you know, before we could blink, and certainly not the case anymore. It's figuring out, you know, how can we tuck these beans away, you know, and sell them against the carry, and farmers are certainly doing the same thing. So it has been different, and, you know, space is demand. And so I think you're seeing, even though the export program isn't robust by any means, interior basis values have held up much better this year than they did a year ago, even though the export program feels similar. And I think that's because your commercial system maybe knows how this is going to progress. They at least know how to handle a year where exports are going to be a little bit smaller. So interior basis values have been much better than a year ago, you know, right on the cusp of harvest here.
Well, and some of that's probably got something to do with not knowing how many what we're going to get from this new crop or the 2019 bean crop, right?
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, in Nebraska, we know that our bean acres are down, you know, 15%. And so, you know, if you have space available, you certainly want to fill it. And so that's certainly a function, you know, as we get into harvest and you talk about, you know, what you need to bid to try to get the elevators full. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of beans being carried, obviously, with a billion bushel carryout by the commercial and by the farmer. And I think the farmer's carrying a pretty good chunk of that as well.
You know, as time goes on, I think farmers are learning, realizing, whatever you want to say, that it does cost to store beans. And you better do a good job of not just marketing, but merchandising those beans.
Yeah, and it's a conversation we try to have with our farmers. You know, I think farmers, if they have grain sold ahead, and you can see, we talked about carries, you know, in the bean market. Those carries are great as long as you can use them. And the only way to use them is to either, you know, forward sell that as a cash sale or get it hedged. You know, just sticking grain in a bin and just waiting for a better price doesn't always work out so well. So you think about a higher dollar commodity like beans, you know, $8 beans at 5-6% at the bank, you know, that's 4 cents a month, and that's real. That's real money. You know, and then you talk about shrink and handle, all those different things. So farmers just need to make sure they're pushing the pencil when they figure, what do I have wrapped up per bushel by storing this on farm? And then have an exit strategy on what price do I hope to achieve, you know, by putting these in here, and then look at the deferred slots for that opportunity, because you're probably going to have to sell the carry to achieve a lot of those price objectives.
Right. I really like you emphasizing that unless you capture the carry it means nothing to the value of beans or corn sitting in the bin. You've got to do something to capture that carry if it's something that you want. Okay, let's look way forward now. 2020. Are you picking up any, you know, you go back, oh man, you got to go back a couple of months now, and that 98, even 99 million acre corn number for the 2020 growing season, that was pretty easy to say. It's a lot harder to say it now, but are you picking up any 2020 corn on forward bookings that might suggest that, yeah, guys are leaning harder towards corn for 2020?
Yeah, I think guys are looking at it. It's just, I think everybody's wanting to see what these harvest yield results look like and what can that do to the 2020 price. I mean, really, Chip, as you look at NOV 20 futures and DEES 20 futures, you know, I wouldn't say those two are out of line in relationship to one another. So for everybody to load up on corn acres today based on those prices,
right,
you're maybe getting the cart in front of the horse a little bit. But I think just in the grand scheme of things, in a big carryout year, or just look at the last 6 years, really, when we get into harvest, any grain sales that have a four in front of them, you know, with the futures price, have tended to be some of our better ones, you know, throughout the course of that year. So you're looking at D's 20 at 403 today. You know, is that where you want to pull the trigger? I don't know, but somewhere between 4, 4.10, 4.15, you know, that feels like a nice spot to get a portion of your crop sold. And the other thing that's happening right now is, you know, a lot of the inputs are starting to become available. You know, so some of your fertilizers for 2020, those prices are becoming transparent in the marketplace. So if you get an idea of what those costs are going to be, sure makes it easier to go sell some grain too.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Hey, back to this 2019 harvest. Are you seeing it? And I don't know how close you track this. And if you don't look at it at all, Luke, just say so. Any movement on propane prices there in eastern Nebraska?
Chip, I don't have my energy cap on most days. So I don't.
No problem
for you there.
Yeah, nope. I was just I'm trying to get a handle on it because, you know, here in Iowa, eastern Iowa in particular, I'm thinking that guys are anticipating that there's going to have to put a little bit extra gas on the corn before they put stuff in the bin. What else do we need to know about what's going on out in eastern Nebraska, Luke?
Well, I think that, you know, we just want to make sure guys have a plan, you know, as we get into fall harvest. You know, one thing we didn't probably talk about is how do we incorporate that MFP program into our soybean marketing decisions for this fall. You know, in Nebraska, we saw a lot of $63 to $70 per acre payments, you know, for that MFP program. So easy math just tells you that's $1 a bushel on your beans.
Okay.
Right now, in eastern Nebraska, we're probably 90 to a buck under at a lot of your elevators and processors, maybe 75 to 80 under. You know, so you're really looking at $8 beans, $8 plus beans today across much of the footprint. So, you know, $9 always seemed to be, you know, that magic number for a lot of guys, at least on where to get started. I don't know that a lot of beans have been sold yet for this crop that's going to come out of the field. But we really just say, hey, if that NFP program helps you achieve that marketing objective, it's a great spot to maybe let some beans go here after a 50-cent rally from just a few weeks ago.
Good stuff, Luke. It's always fun to talk with you. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
No bet. That is Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag out in Elgin, Nebraska. When we come back, I'll put a wrap on hour two of today's AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Wow. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory, your host. Yeah, good conversation about what's going on in the cash market over there in eastern Nebraska. I really like what Luke was saying about that they did feel the pull of those bean sales that were recently made to China. That was good to hear. So I'm driving down the road this afternoon, left after the morning show, hit the road, heading out to South Bend. I'm driving down the road looking at this corn crop, driving down the road looking at this bean crop. It's a beautiful time of the year where we've got the grass is still green, the beans are turning, some of the corn is starting to turn, lose its color. And I'm thinking to myself, are we really still that concerned about crop condition ratings from USDA? I mean, you guys know how I feel about these things. Everybody focuses on the amount of the corn crop rated good to excellent, the amount of the soybean crop rated good to excellent. I think there's more to be learned and more value in the amount of the crop that's rated poor to very poor on a year-to-year basis than what there is in the crop rated good to excellent. Do we still care? Do we still care that the amount of corn rated good to excellent was increased 2 points from last week as of Sunday? Evidently, the market does, because there was a little bit of pressure on the corn market early in the session because of this crop condition rating. It seems silly to me. Beans, nah, not much impact, but that's because the amount of the crop rated good to excellent as of Sunday, September 22nd, was unchanged from the previous week. It really is fascinating to me that the market would still be paying attention to the crop condition ratings at this time of the year. Another one that is fooling me because of the amount of attention that it is getting is the fact that the Chinese delegation's trip to quote unquote farm country was canceled. So what? I don't understand. What is it? People say, hey, it's a sign that the negotiations aren't going well. It's a sign that negotiations are tough. Really? Does that surprise anybody? We've been at this for a year and a half. Isn't that all the evidence that you need to understand that these negotiations between the U.S. and China are tough, that it's difficult to find agreement between those two countries on some of the really tough issues like the copyright issues? And it just, I think, has been so overblown that we're paying attention to where the Chinese negotiating team is going, whether or not they're making a trip to farm country. It doesn't make any, we're just paying too much attention to it. Here's some things that I don't think we're paying enough attention to. This morning, private exporters reported to the U.S. Department of Agriculture export sales of 200,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 2019-20 marketing year. Let's see. China has granted new waivers to several domestic, state, and private firms, exempting them from retaliatory tariffs on soybean imports from the United States. Now, that's according to Bloomberg. It says the waivers would apply to between 2 million and 3 million metric tons of soybeans. So we're talking about 35, maybe 70 million bushels of soybeans. Some of the companies have already bought at least 20 cargoes, or about 1.2 million metric tons of soybeans on Monday. So just call it 50, about 50 million bushels of beans. So there is demand. The bottom line is that there is demand that is coming to the market. I think those are the things that we should be paying more attention to rather than a two-point increase in the amount of corn rated good to excellent, steady crop condition ratings on soybeans, a canceled trip by the Chinese trade delegation into farm country. Those are so what issues to me. The demand, that's where it shows up. Those are the things that we should be paying attention to. And the weather forecast. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and the conversations that I've seen on social media, Twitter in particular, where they are saying things like, doggone it, are we going to get into another repeat or into a repeat of the 2018 harvest season? Remember how many bushels of beans we left on the ground and out in the field in 2018 because of the harvest conditions? What about the amount of corn that we left in the field? You know, we saw some of the issues out there with the amount of volunteer corn that we saw in soybeans. So, I mean, it was evidence. It actually happened. It wasn't theory that we left bushels and bushels of corn out in the field last year. It happened. It happened. So we need to be aware of that as we get into this this next stretch of, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, when we really try to get this harvest ramped up, just how much trouble are we going to run into with the amount of moisture that we've got coming into the Midwest? Something that I think we need to pay real close attention to. And tell me, what happens if we have a wet fall for a second consecutive year and we don't get field work done for a second consecutive year? We don't get fertilizer down for a second consecutive year. We start to condense that window even tighter for the spring planting season, the spring field work season, the spring fertilizer application season. We condense that window down tighter for a second year. That's going to make it tough to get all those corn acres planted once again. So a lot of things are starting to really develop for us as we get as we take a look at the next month. And of course, keep a real close eye on what is going on with the South American crop. They're putting off plantings. They're putting off plantings because it's too doggone dry down there. Hey, thank you for listening today. Thanks to Joe Baklavic for coming on. Thanks to Luke Beckman. Tomorrow, we're back on the road, College Roadshow, West Lafayette, Indiana, and the campus of Purdue University.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Saltro fungicide seed treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.